WUST, Washington.
Very organized movement from Uber and its allies to influence the taxi cab committee, I mean the DC City Council and the taxi cab commission and the DC government in general to be exempted from regulations. Look, we taxi cab industry is an overregulated industry and a very oversaturated industry. On top of that, they just want to bring sedan class service like Uber without any regulation and further push down our business, business down the drain.
This is the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org, and I'm joined by my co-host, DC Advisory Neighborhood Commission member Tony Norman, who's chairman of the board of Pacifica Radio's WPFW 89.3 FM. Welcome, Tony Norman.
Glad to be here.
Today, we look at the ongoing battles over Uber and Verifone, two major companies which are seeking to make millions from DC's taxi industry. The battle over Uber heated up this week when the DC Taxi Cab Commission took a major step towards regulating luxury sedan vehicles, which presently are allowed to operate in the District of Columbia as both limos and taxis, yet are unregulated. In a note addressed to the Uber faithful, Uber CEO Travis Kalanick wrote, "The DC Taxi Commission is on the warpath again, proposing rules that would essentially put Uber DC out of business." DC Taxi Cab Commission Chairman Ron Litton said Kalanick was overreacting. "I don't know how they arrive at that conclusion. There's nothing in there that shuts them down," Litton told Mike DeBonis of the Washington Post. Kalanick called on supporters to be a part of Uber's online activism efforts and join him in sending a letter to the DC Council that reads in part, "The set of regulations proposed by the DC Taxi Cab Commission can only be described as anti-competitive at the expense of thousands of high-paying DC driver jobs, stifling innovation, and against the interests of city residents who need quality transportation alternatives." Kalanick concluded saying, "Coincidentally, I'm in DC this week and I'm happy to take meetings with council members that can find the time in their busy schedules." Well, Kalanick's time in DC coincides with a major hearing on luxury sedan vehicles being held Monday by the DC Council's Committee on the Environment, Public Works, and Transportation, chaired by Ward 3 council member Mary Che. Appearing on News Channel 8's News Talk with Bruce DePoit, Che discussed Uber and the upcoming hearing.
Let's talk about Uber. Uber mm-hmm. is this app-driven car service.
Right.
They have very nice modern sedans. I've never used it, but from every indication you go bink, 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 and 7 minutes later this sleek, black, clean, fabulous car shows up and it takes you to where you're going. It's unregulated. And some people say, listen, it's not broken, please don't fix it. But others are like, hey, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck, so it should be regulated like other taxis are regulated.
And Uber itself is going to be subject to competition, too. There are other services that want to move in and compete for this. Part of the taxi reform bill, and by the way, I'm a fan of Uber. I think it's great, and I think the technology is moving rapidly. And some say, you know, there won't be street hails anymore at some point. I'm not so sure about that, but in any event. Uber, under the rules that we had in place before the bill moved, was, according to the Taxi Cab Commission, illegal, and there were stings and so on. My bill made it legal, and it did put on some limitations. First of all, you have to give an approximation of what the cost will be. You have to give a receipt.
Is it just verbal?
Yeah, you have to say, well, I'm going to go here or there, mm-hmm. and you have to give an approximation. And then you have to, so the person has some idea about mm-hmm. what it's going to cost. And then at the end, you have to give a receipt. And what Uber does, they have a great receipt that they give you. They show you the route that you took so you can see whether there was any shenanigans about, you know, taking you out of your way. The initial plan, which I did speak to the Uber people about, I know there was a big to-do about this at the end, was to at least start out with this high-class service at a certain minimum rate, and that they couldn't go below that so that they wouldn't be themselves competing with regular taxis until we sorted out how we're going to handle this. It may be that only street hails will have the kinds of regulations money regulations that we're talking about, and all sorts of dispatch services, whether it be Uber or other companies or the companies that have dispatch services. It may be that we go in that direction. So there will be some regulation of all of them for consumer protection. You know, a receipt, for example, would be a good thing. And so we're going to have a hearing, my committee's going to have a hearing again on Monday to sort out some of those refinements.
That was Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che, who was a guest on News Channel 8's News Talk with Bruce DuPoit this past week. Che, who chairs the Committee on the Environment, Public Works, and Transportation, will be presiding over a public hearing on luxury sedan vehicles this coming Monday at 11 a.m. at the John A. Wilson Building at 1350 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. Yesterday, I caught up with two leaders of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, Negede Abebe and Hymenat Biziwayehu, whose comments we opened the show with. Negede and Hymenat each had a message for drivers about Monday's hearing on Uber.
This is Negede Abebe. I would like every driver, every taxi cab driver has to show up on Mary Che hearing on the 24th of September around the 10:30. This is very important because Uber is trying to take away our business. Uber has a strategy to undercut our price and take our fare and our business, give it away to drivers who come from Virginia, all over the state. So every driver has to show up there and testify and give us the support to stop Uber not stealing our business.
Hi, this is Hymenat. I would like to inform all the taxi cab drivers in Washington, D.C. about a public hearing which is going to be conducted on coming Monday, the 24th of September. It is very important for the drivers to show up at this hearing because there is a very organized movement from Uber and its allies to influence the taxi cab commission, the DC City Council and the taxi cab commission and the DC government in general to be exempted from regulations. Look, we taxi cab industry is an overly over-regulated industry and a very oversaturated industry. On top of that, they just want to bring sedan class service like Uber without any regulation and further push down our business, business down the drain. It is very important each of you to appear at this hearing and show support to the Small Business Association and other organizations who are fighting for the rights and livelihood of the taxi cab drivers in Washington, D.C. So I expect each and every one of you listening here to go out and spread the word and bring your friends, relatives, and supporters to this hearing and send a strong message to the City Council, the D.C. Government Taxi Cab Commission, that we are going to stand and fight for our livelihood.
That was Negede Abebe and then Hymenat Biziwayehu, both of the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers. While D.C. attempts to grapple with whether and how to regulate Uber, which feels it should be able to act as a taxi without being regulated like one, other cities are also dealing with the issue. Thursday, I took part in a Huffington Post video chat on Uber, which included a taxi cab driver from Chicago. Here's a short clip of what Rashid Tamuri had to say about Uber.
Consumers do want it, but what my problem with Uber is they're getting into the taxi business. They're getting into the taxi industry. If they would stick to their car service and people are willing to pay, well, I do have a problem with that because city needs to regulate that. City cannot just let them charge whatever they feel like.
That was Chicago cab driver Rashid Tamuri. Before turning to you, Tony Norman, to get your thoughts on Uber, I wanted to lay out for listeners what exactly the Taxi Cab Commission proposed to do on Wednesday that so upset Uber. If approved by the commission, the proposed rulemakings would create a separate sedan class of public vehicles for hire, and it would require sedan companies operating in D.C. to do a number of things, including maintain a fleet of 20 or more vehicles, with 10% being wheelchair accessible, open up a DC office and obtain a business certificate from the district, require all sedans and sedan drivers to be licensed by the Taxicab Commission, provide the commission with the names and addresses of vehicle owners along with their type of car, which must be a full-size four-door sedan that is black in color, no more than 5 years in age, properly insured, and has passed inspection with the DC Department of Motor Vehicles. If approved by the commission, the proposed rulemakings would also require that all payments for sedan trips be prearranged, and that variable pricing be eliminated, and that a receipt be provided. Additionally, the proposed rulemakings would require that the pending 50 cent per taxi ride surcharge be collected by sedans and remitted to the commission on a weekly basis. What's more, sedan class vehicles would be prevented from making street hails, a practice which they currently engage in. Sedans shall only pick up passengers that have entered into an agreement or contract with a sedan vehicle reservation service, reads the proposed rulemaking. Tony Norman, can you respond both to the steps that the DC Taxicab Commission took this week with its proposed rulemakings, as well as to Uber's response? And I understand you plan on testifying at Monday's public hearing.
Yeah, the taxicab rules are a step in the right direction as it relates to Uber. I mean, it's treating Uber just like it should be treated, basically a sedan or limousine service. And they need to be regulated. Their prices, they need a customer need to know what they are. They can't just adjust their prices as they see fit. That's why it's very imperative that the taxicab drivers show up Monday and testify, particularly those drivers who know about Uber's drivers that pick up fares. That's very important to get that on the record, because Uber is having it both ways. They're operating as a taxi, they're operating as a limousine service, and they're not regulated. So all of the drivers that have any stories about Uber picking up passengers, you need to come and put that on the public record. And we also need to be cautious of the politicians cutting deals and trying to support Uber and obstruct any regulation that they're going to be regulated, because the owner is going to be in town. They're going to try to send in all of these emails, and that's something somebody needs to investigate and track down, before they send all these blanket e-blasts, supposedly emails from residents and passengers here in Washington, D.C., because the council members are going to come out and say, we got 20,000 emails to say leave Uber alone, which I doubt even seriously that there's that many passengers that even participated with Uber when they got the 6,000 or 7,000 emails that they alleged came into the city council and supposedly moved city council because they got all these emails. Once again, we've discussed that in the past. Taxicab drivers showed up in great numbers. Bodies didn't seem to move the council, but now they're talking about these emails. So we have to be very cautious and leery about them starting another e-campaign. And somebody need to contact the chairman of the council or the secretary of the council and track down where these emails are coming from. Some public interest groups need to check that out, because I find it very, very difficult to believe that many passengers are calling in about Uber. But it's very important that Uber is regulated, for the simple reason that they cater to a different market. They can adjust their prices. If they don't want certain customers, then they can jack their prices up when a customer call in and say, this is how much it is. And if they are encouraging a certain type of customers, they can lower it or adjust it. That creates a wild, wild west situation for Uber, and that's why they want to keep it just like it is. And the irony of all this is D.C. is always trying to look to New York and say, well, we want to regulate like New York. We want a medallion like New York. New York regulate companies similar to Uber. So if you want to look to New York again, I mean, why don't you follow this example? This is a company that has to be regulated for the simple fact that it's hurting the present taxi cab drivers. But once again, as we brought out last week, the fundamental issue here is that it's also a class warfare. Only a certain type of income or people use Uber. That's why the council members are so empathetic toward this system. And I don't have anything against that, but I'm simply saying, okay, if that's a certain class of service they want to deal with, then it has to be regulated, just like every other industry. Once again, it points out their discrimination against taxicab drivers. They treat taxicab drivers like they're released prisoners. They have to be overly regulated. Their cabs have to do this. They have to be stopped. You have to have hack inspectors harassing them. But no one is harassing these Uber drivers. So it gets into a class discrimination as how they treat taxicab drivers, how they see taxicab drivers. And that's why council members are very discriminatory in how they're treating Uber and regular taxicab drivers. If they had a perspective of the taxicab drivers like they have of Uber, we wouldn't be having all of these conflicts. They will see what the average taxicab driver is going through because they would be empathetic to the taxicab driver, just like they're empathetic to Uber. But the fundamental issue is this is a class issue. This is a discrimination issue. And I think the council needs to look at itself and the taxicab commission needs to look at itself and the media needs to look at itself using the taxicab drivers, how we are treating these drivers. We start off with the premise that what's wrong with the taxicab industry is the drivers. They're foreign. They're this. They're that. That's the premise that all of them start from, not just the council people or the mayor, but also the media. So this Uber thing is, to me, touches on a very fundamental issue as how we view these taxicab drivers here in Washington, D.C.
Tony Norman, you mentioned that sometimes numbers don't matter, but I wonder if that the activism that we've seen over the past months and several years hasn't had an impact, because I never got the impression that Ron Linton has been a strong friend to D.C. taxicab drivers. Yet at least the position that they're starting from on this issue, on proposed rulemakings regarding sedan class vehicles, these are quite strong. And again, I don't think that Linton is some great friend to drivers, so I have to think that this is really the activism. They just can't handle a continued protest, and maybe the activism has had some impact.
I didn't necessarily mean to imply that numbers don't matter. I mean, they don't feel that the bodies of taxicab drivers matter. The council doesn't feel that the numbers of taxicab drivers, when they show up in large numbers, does not matter. Linton does not feel that the large number of taxicab drivers show up. That number does not matter because they don't see these as regular people. They see these as foreigners or some sort of alien entity that run our taxicab. And see, in their minds, those numbers don't matter. But I think those numbers do matter. And I think the reason that Linton is going after has nothing more to do. He's not a friend of taxicab drivers. He's not doing this for taxicab drivers. He's doing this for his ego. I mean, he wanted to come after Uber for the simple fact that he stated that they are a certain type of limousine company. He has nothing to do with trying to protect taxicab drivers. He has more to do with protecting a limousine company than the hospitality industry. And his ego was bruised because he was embarrassed when he tried to set up his sting that he was personally involved in. And therefore, it is a personality issue for Linton. That's all it is. This is not a fight for taxicab drivers as Linton sees. Linton is not, and I'm going to repeat it, Linton is not a friend to taxicab drivers. Taxicab drivers request this man's resignation.
What impact does drivers showing up at Monday's hearing and going forward, what impact does that have?
I think it'll have a great impact, particularly if the drivers can attest to the issues with Uber. It'll show that Uber is an industry that needs to be regulated. And I also think that Mary Chase sees this. It's not just they can't justify this discrimination the way they're treating Uber. So they might try to come out with some weak regulation, which is what we need to be cautious of. A nominal regulation of Uber. That's why we have to push for strict regulations of Uber. And treat them and not be unfair to the taxicab drivers.
In addition to discussing proposed rulemakings for sedan-class public vehicles for hire, Wednesday's meeting of the D.C. Taxicab Commission also saw the passage on an emergency basis of a measure that allows the commission to move forward with implementing the pending 50-cent per-ride surcharge. The Taxi Link's Will Martin caught up with Chairman Linton directly after the commission meeting.
The commission adopted an emergency regulation that would allow it to vote to impose the 50-cent surcharge collection program if conditions occurred that required it in order to have the necessary revenue to sustain the commission's existence and program, since we no longer will be on general revenues that will not be appropriated to the commission. The action today does not impose the surcharge. It simply sets the conditions under which the commission can vote to impose it should it become necessary.
That was D.C. Taxicab Commission Chairman Ron Linton. Elsewhere in the news, the Washington Post reported that two brothers, Darius Watts and Gregory Watts, aged 20 and 19 respectively, were sentenced Friday after pleading guilty in July to robbing two cab drivers in September of 2011. The Washington Post article interestingly noted, the incidents are in line with federal rankings of cab driving as one of the nation's most dangerous jobs. Meanwhile, cab drivers in Fairfax County may experience a fare increase from $2 to $2.10 per mile, according to a tweet from the Washington Business Journal's Mike Niebauer, who says a public hearing has been scheduled for October 16th. This is the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, and you can listen to past shows of the Taxi Link at thefightback.org. We now turn to the battle over Verifone, the district's controversial $35 million contract to install so-called taxi smart meters in all 6,500 DC taxis was recently halted. The contract appeals board sided with two of Verifone's competitors, Creative Mobile Technologies, or CMT, and Ride Charge, now Taxi Magic. The competitor said installation of the smart meters should not proceed until the board rules on whether the procurement process was fair and didn't unfairly benefit Verifone, as they claim. Appearing on News Channel 8's News Talk this past week, Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che declined to say whether she had confidence in the procurement process for the Verifone contract.
Do you have confidence in the contract process based on the information you have about it?
Well, you know, I haven't really followed the particulars of the contract process. You know, I just assume that that'll all have to be worked out. And as I said, my aim is to get this decided as quickly as possible.
That was Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che, who declined to express confidence in the very Verifone contract that she has heralded over the past months. Questions about the Verifone contract are growing. When Bruce DePoit opened up the phone lines, a DC cab driver named Jesse called in and asked Che, who would be on the hook if the meter breaks, and why just one company is being mandated instead of letting drivers shop around for the best deal.
If I get in my cab and the reader doesn't work, am I out of work for the day? And since you're going to make me get a meter, a credit card reader, why can't we do like the meters? You mandated, we have to get them on the free market.
Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che had this to say in response to Jesse's question.
In terms of requiring particular credit card machines, as I indicated before, our approach here is to say we want uniformity, we want quality control, and we want to ensure that every driver has the same thing and it's working.
That was Councilmember Mary Che responding to a caller on News Talk with Bruce DePoit on News Channel 8. Can someone please explain the deal with the new smart meters to me? That's the opening to a piece by Matt Foreman in the mail at DCWatch.com. Foreman, who's a community activist, asked, what exactly is the city getting for $35 million? Why is the city paying for it and procuring the service now under bid protest? If uniformity is desired, why doesn't the city just mandate a technical standard and have the taxis purchase the meter from whatever vendors are selling it? Just a little while ago, Tony and I spoke with Matt Foreman. I began by asking him what prompted him to write his piece.
Well, you know, I'd seen several articles in the various newspapers about the contract procurement bid being put on hold by the court, and I was curious to learn more about it, so I did a little digging on the internet, didn't find much information, was kind of shocked by the $35 million price tag, and, you know, when I found out how much it was per cab, I thought it was kind of outrageous, not to mention the 50-cent surcharge per ride.
I want to play for you a clip that was on Mary Che, the Ward 3 council member, and chair of the Committee on the Environment, Public Works, and Transportation. She appeared with Bruce DePoit on News Talk on News Channel 8. And in discussing the taxi meters, Bruce DePoit mentioned your piece. I want to play the clip and get your response.
Okay.
There was a letter in the mail in DCWatch.com mm-hmm. that took the position, I think, that, you know, why are taxpayers paying to have a certain type of equipment in a private company's car? I mean,
it's a highly regulated industry.
Right, but why not just set the standard and say, here's what we want. Here are the models, even, you know, the Johnson 2000 or the Miller X, the Miller Model A. You know, here's what we want. Here are the models that do it. Buy one.
Well, you know, as I said, we want to ensure quality control. We want all of them to be uniform. We want the we don't want any fooling around with the how they're put in or how they're taken out or when they're in service or when they're not fixed. This would include also repair. We want it to work at a high level and have confidence that it will work at a high level, and that's really part of it.
That, again, was Mary Che appearing on News Channel 8's News Talk with Bruce DuPoit, mentioning Matt Foreman's article that he wrote in the mail at DCWatch.com. Matt Foreman, your response.
Well, you know, I've been to New York City. I've seen the little TV screens and whatever they are, you know, in the cab. I'm not impressed. I don't think that this notion of uniformity is worth $35 million. And I can understand, you know, you need a meter that works. You want to make sure that the fare is calculated accurately, and we already have that. And any number of companies can provide that. It's a standard operating equipment. You go to a gas station, you want to make sure you're getting as many gallons as the pump says, or a scale at the grocery store, and the scale reads properly. So that's fine. But having a little digital screen in the back seat with a credit card reader, it's a luxury. And I was over at the Union Market just today, and nearly every cashier was charging up the groceries in these little produce and dairy stands and butchers with an iPad. So how is it costing $35 million? It's a luxury.
You write at the end of your piece, I don't see how it's worth paying a 50-cent surcharge every time I get in a cab to be able to look at a little TV screen feeding me propaganda from NBC. And NBC, of course, is the sole provider of the content for the Verifone screens.
Right. As I say, you know, I've been to New York City. I saw they have these sort of cutesy little, you know, welcome to New York City kind of ads that play on the screen, and half of them are sort of probably malfunctioning, and it's boring. It's not useful. I don't know if they're going to show some kind of TV shows. I imagine there's going to be a lot of commercials, and you know, apparently this company is going to be raking in the ad revenue from it. And I understand you can turn it off, but if you can turn it off, why are we paying $35 million for it?
Yes, so, it also basically creates a monopoly for one company to dominate the system. And also that company, it hasn't been worked out yet, what that company is going to be collecting a great deal of data of where passengers are going, drivers going, and it hadn't been clear of what they're going to do with that data and who they're going to sell that data to.
Matt Foreman, you want to respond to that, and any final thoughts that you have? And thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you know, I'm sure that in some way the data might be useful to the city. The city is great on computers and data, and it would be, as I say, nice to have it, a luxury to have it, but I don't see it how it's worth $35 million or 50 cents per ride for it.
That was Matt Foreman, whose recent piece on DC's taxi meters can be found at dcwatch.com, and we'll link to it at thefightback.org. You can find past programs of the Taxi Link. Coming up at 8 o'clock for Drivers Who Speak, Amharic, the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, holds its weekly phone conference. The phone conference is held not in English, but in Amharic, and it begins at 8. And to join in, dial 712-432-3100, 712-432-3100. Enter the passcode 140465, 140465. Tony Norman, your thoughts on Verifone and where we stand? The contract is being disputed, and the Contract Appeals Board should rule sometime in October.
Yeah, I was just sitting here listening to Mary Che. She all of a sudden is taking a distance from this Verifone contract. If anyone listened to the council proceeding, she was the expert on Verifone, how the contract was going to work. She was even instructing Councilmember Vincent Orange on the details of the contract. Now, all of a sudden, she doesn't know much about it, and she's not kept in the loop. But this whole Verifone contract is a very serious amount of confusion. I mean, it raises some serious issues that they were not ready to institute this contract. They were not in a position to do all the things that they promised, which the taxi cab drivers knew, and everybody else knew, that the commission is not in any shape to institute or execute upon the type of ideas that they're trying to implement. But we see this whole Verifone contract issue is nothing but a series of shenanigans of trying to lean toward one particular contractor for whatever monopolistic purposes that they have. And their intent, the city's intent and the Taxi Cab Commission's intent, is becoming very clear as we go through this by and by. So I think this Verifone contract is in serious trouble, and it raises serious issues about this so-called taxicab reform movement.
That's the voice of Tony Norman, co-host of The Taxi Link, testifying Monday at the D.C. Council's the Committee on the Environment, Public Works, and Transportation is holding a hearing on Uber, and it should be quite interesting. And Tony's also an ANC commissioner and chair of the board of WPFW Pacifica Radio 89.3 FM. This show will be posted at thefightback.org. Please help spread the word. Let drivers know where they can find out what's going on with DC taxi industry. They can go to thefightback.org, and past shows are archived there. I want to thank Will Martin for his continued help in producing these shows, and I also want to thank Mark Taylor for his expert engineering. For Tony Norman, I'm Pete Tucker. Catch you next week. Peace.